But appreciate the fine dining tonight. Praise the Lord. And the team back there, they did a great job. And praise the Lord for all of that. I did not say whining and dining. You'll have to go to another school for that. All right. I praise the Lord that my alma mater still has some convictions. Amen. But sitting with Pastor Batrell and Pastor Unruly, that was that's a real blessing. And so he said, if I go past 9 o'clock, he's walking out. So, and they support us monthly, so I'm going to keep, you know. So we praise the Lord for good friends in here tonight. And praise the Lord for the Sustainer Ministry on behalf of my son, who is a recipient of the Sustainer Fund as well, the scholarship. And we are thankful for that and thankful for the help that you've been in our family as well. He is a missionary, so pray for him, all right? And we're thankful for many good things that we learned here at Fairhaven. You know, coming from a farm down in Missouri and being a country boy, but praise the Lord that our pastor put it in our heads that anywhere we go in life, whatever God calls us to do, that we ought to give some time to the Lord and think about Bible college. And the time came when we packed up our things and, you know, each one of us took our turn at it, but driving 350 miles to come to a Bible college and fast pace of life and, you know, working your way through Bible college and paying that college bill like we heard too. But there's a lot of lessons we learned, many decisions that were settled here in college and just having structure, learning to communicate, having learning some discipline, and I'm thankful that they're not pulling up our demerit records and detention and all those things. You know, you can't come to class, you don't have your detention worked off, so, all right, hey, we'll learn through all this. So there's many good things we had to learn, and God used that time. I would say the most thankful, the greatest thing I received in college was that God brought me my wife, so thankful for a beautiful wife, and she makes me look good, so she's my secretary and my encourager, my help, and always by my side, sometimes even my advisor, so, but she's been a blessing, and she preaches over there, she preaches to the women, and so we're a musical family, you know. When people say, oh, you guys are so musical, oh, yeah, yeah. My girls, they play the flute and the violin, and Marilyn plays the piano, and I play the radio, so we're all good to go. So, you know, but when you got the talents, you can't help it, all right? But we praise the Lord for the opportunity to come together, and we look forward to going back to the field in August as the Lord has us to work and labor and love those people. In Cambodia, and we would rather be there. We love the ministry that God has given us, and of course had a bumpy start, many issues to work out along the way, but God has taught us to do it his way is better, and to be patient and wait on him. So if you would tonight, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll try not to revert to Cambodian time, all right? We're used to two-hour services over there. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's go to verse number 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Charge here is like a commanding officer to his regiment. It's a very strong word. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing? And he gives all these commands to Timothy. But look at verse number 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He speaks of going on to heaven, of being ushered into the kingdom of heaven. And he says, my departure. He's about to leave. And he knows that that time is coming. In verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This is a message that God has begun working in my heart for some time. And really, as I think, when you're getting up in age, and I'm only a few years from the big 5-0, and you start thinking about, well, you know, that on that final stage, you think about how important it is to finish well and to seek to have a strong finish. And I think here we can look at the example of a great man in the Bible and how he was prepared. And I think it does us good to look into 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to just scratch the surface tonight. But if we would study this chapter and see how God used the final chapter that he wrote and show us how we can prepare for that final phase of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of a man who finished well. And Lord, we know that you were pleased. And we see these verses here tonight. I pray you speak to our hearts. Help us consider these very important issues in our lives. Praise the saints in Christ's name. Amen. We think of how important it is to finish well. A few weeks ago, as we traveled to these churches who are supporting churches, and we enjoy a great fellowship. It's such a blessing to connect with good churches and good pastors. And we're having a great fellowship there with Pastor Williams. And I was not aware before tonight he's going to be giving a testimony. But as we're sitting down and he's discussing all that God has brought him through and the fiery trials. And it's just amazing how he keeps on fighting. It keeps on working. And they have these bulletins they pass out on Sundays and it has always the goals for the year, short-term goals, long-term goals. The direction of the church. He's talking about how God is preparing the church, and he has young men that are coming through and that are helping with teaching and preaching. But he has tears in his eyes, and he looks at me and says, "Brother Schrock, I just want to finish well. I just want to finish well. I don't want to finish with regrets. I don't want to finish with grief and with laziness or whatever, or just stepping out, but I want to finish strong." And I think as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul here, I don't believe he was bragging. I don't think he was boasting. I think he was giving a testimony of what God has done in his life and how God has used him. And think about 30 years of service. It seems he got saved around 30 years old, and now he's close to 60. He's about to pass on into heaven. And he has this expectation. He has this anticipation of that which is coming. He knows he's so close. He's on the threshold of going into heaven. And he says, "The time is now. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And if there's anything that the pandemic has taught us, and I'm not going to bring up the C word, all right? I already promised I wouldn't. So anything the pandemic has taught us, has taught us that life is frail. And we are not guaranteed another week, another month, another year. Some that used to meet with us, and they went home to heaven. Some in our church God has taken home. But you know, God is still at work, and God wants us to anticipate. And I think the apostle teaches us that really considering death and considering all that's in store for us, we really shouldn't be distressed. We really should be encouraged, and we should think about all that God has in store for us, and he seems to relish. He seems to just anticipate and have this expectancy of all that God has and of heaven and praising the Lord and being in his presence. So think about these four things, and I'll be quick tonight. these 4 points tonight, we see that Paul was, first of all, he was a fighter. He says, I have fought the good fight. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you just to fight, to fight. I think we have our fair share of those, right? Because we can be contentious. And we can, well, we can bring it on. All right? And we can fight with each other. Isn't that right? But the Bible says fight the good fight. Amen. Every one of us have a good fight. And the good fight that God has put us in is a fight for our lives, a fight for our families, a fight for our churches, a fight for our generation, a fight to bring people to Jesus Christ. As a missionary recently, we talked about statistics. He said 68% of our generation has no access to the gospel. 68% have no witness. No Christian close to them to give them a witness. There's an incredible need. There's a need for more preachers. There's a need for more missionaries. We have a battle on our hands tonight. And that is, there's 95% outside of our borders, and many of them have no access to the gospel. There are cities of 100,000 people that have no gospel preaching church. Our church, if we have somebody disgruntled, I don't know where they're going to go. They can go to the Mormon church? I don't know. I don't think so. But I'm just saying there's not many churches. There's not many churches. We can't have many fellowship meetings. But, you know, praise the Lord, God is still able to build his church. And he does it in spite of us. It is his work and his flock. But we have a battle. Understand tonight that we have a real enemy, don't we? And just to help us remember it, I call it the three S's. We have satanic influence, societal influence, and selfish influence. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Aren't you thankful that we have mighty weapons of God? We're not talking about something in the flesh. We're talking about something from God in his spirit and through his word. We have all the weapons we need to be victorious and to fight the good fight. And sometimes we stop fighting. And sometimes we start standing and being spectators instead of participators. We have many fights. We don't have time to even talk about all the fights that God wants us to be involved in. But we need to fight for walking in the spirit. And not to walk in the flesh. How many times have we had some issue in our families? And then when we get done with it, the Holy Spirit comes and tells us, well, you really didn't handle that in the right way. You really didn't handle that in the spirit. You handled that in the flesh. And there's some things there you need to go back and talk to them about that. You need to take care of some things. Because we like to sometimes go back to the default mode, which is in the flesh. We need to fight for walking in the spirit. Another fight is for holiness. We need more holiness, don't we? God does not and will not condone sin. But can I say this, that holiness is not based on a system of rules, but holiness is based on a right relationship with God. And holiness is found right here in his holy word. So this is where we discern issues of right and wrong. We think of all the weapons that God has given us in Ephesians chapter 6. But if you read to the end of that passage, you see there it says, praying always. How many times we read about all the weapons, and then we forget that the power, the real power, comes from God. And God teaches us that prayer is absolutely vital. You see, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How about it tonight? Are we willing to fight? There's a real fight on our hands. I think of Sit Wei, one of our strongest men in the church and one of the leaders in the church. But back 2012, about 10 years ago, he'd been saved for 2 years, and he was coming to church, but not all three services. Because Sunday morning, he's at work, and he has a very profitable business. and he was selling propane gas, and he's done this for many years now, and was fairly lucrative business, had a good business there, and so he knows Sunday is our big day. And that's, you know, the hotels and restaurants and everything else there. And so, you know, I'm just not coming to church on Sunday. I'm coming Sunday night. I'm all right with that. He'd bring his family on Sunday nights, and then we began to pray, and we began to counsel him some, and he's willing to listen. And we talked about how we should put the Lord first and trust God to take care of the rest. And, you know, he read Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he read some other verses in the Bible, and he just kind of looked at us. And I was sitting there with another church member, and he said, I know what I need to do. I need to put the Lord first and just trust him to take care of the rest. Amen. You know, it took him some time, and, you know, he came for one Sunday, and then he went back to his business next week, and it took a couple months, but it wasn't long until he became faithful and trusted the Lord. And you know, the trade-off is that God has given his business, God has helped and grown his business in more ways than he could count. And God has helped him financially, and he has a good budget, and he takes care of his family. And the ends are all met because God takes care of his own. He began to fight the good fight. We need to ask each one of ourselves, are we fighting on all sides the way God would have us to fight and be on guard? Because it is real. Year after year, I wage this holy war. With eyes upward, I know what I'm fighting for. Although I am weak, God gave me this call. Held by his hand, I know I shall not fall. God calls not the proud or even the strong. Only by his Spirit can we march along. Though battles are fierce, we can't give in. To turn backwards now would simply be a sin. So tired though I be, I go on without shame. My life, my goal, is to exalt Jesus' name. Go on, brother, fight the good fight. God has given you everything you need to fight. I know sometimes we get weary, and much of Christian ministry is unnoticed, maybe unacknowledged, and thankless. But brother, continue to fight. These are the Lord's battles. Amen. And he will help us to fight. Number two, he was also a finisher. He was not a quitter. He says, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. The Christian life is compared to a race, but it's not a 40-yard dash. It's more like an obstacle course, right? You talk about many obstacles. And sometimes the easy route would be just to quit. Just take a shortcut. But you can't quit. Really, it's not, a marathon is 26 miles, something like 26 miles. Ultra marathon is anything past that. But you know, the Christian life is a long race. You know, I think of how this psalmist reminds us that, you know, the average lifespan is 70 years, and if it's really blessed, then it's 80 years. And then he tells us, so teach us to number our days. Number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I want to be wise all the way to the end. Every one of us ought to have a desire to finish. As Pastor Williams reminded us tonight, we start, we stay, and we finish. God wants finishers. He doesn't want quitters. Recently, there was a man who gave a testimony in our church and reminded us that God had been putting on his heart, just continue to finish, continue strong. All the way to the finish. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In 2010, there was a man named Ken, a devout Christian, and has a good church up there, goes to church. He's a layman. He left home early that morning with his son. He had his devotions. He kissed his wife goodbye and never knew that would be the last time. That morning, as they were going to work, there's a car in front of him that that hit a sheet of black ice. And the car in front of him went off the highway. Well, Ken, wanting to help and seeing if he could provide any type of emergency care, he pulled off the road and he got out of the car, ran down the embankment to see if there's anything he could do to help. His car had turned over. And as Ken was running down the embankment, he didn't see that there was another car that had careened off of the highway, out of control, and hit Ken and killed him. Ken was that kind of a man, though, always caring, always wanting to do something to help. In his pocket, he had tracts. He had a little Bible in his pocket as well. His Bible fell out in the snow, and they said as they put his body into the ambulance, there were tracts falling out. He was always trying to witness, trying to do something to make a difference. That's the kind of person we ought to be like. All the way to the end, is there something, is there someone, maybe even in sickness, maybe even on your way to the hospital or in the hospital, there's a nurse and there's a doctor, there's someone that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's finish all the way to the end. The early church father, Polycarp, he said, 86 years have I served him, and he hath done me no wrong. They said, you can get out of this if you want. We're going to burn you to death right now, but you can get out of it scot-free. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he hath done me no wrong. How can I speak evil of my king and my Savior? Wow, all the way to the end. How about it tonight? Are we going to be quitters? Let us hold on until the end. I know we're not talking about holding on to salvation. We're talking about holding on to a Christian testimony and real faith. Thirdly, we see that he was full of faith. He was full of faith. He said, I kept the faith. How about your faith tonight? How about my faith? Our faith has been tried, hasn't it? Throughout the many twists and turns of life, there's many things. I think if God showed us the entire spectrum before we entered into the Christian life, I think we'd say, I don't think so. But it's all right because God gives us the grace to go through it. And he builds our faith through the fiery trials. You may lose a lot of things in your life, but don't lose your faith. You see, you may never know what the future holds, but you can know who holds the future. Yes, sir. We know that our future is in God's hands. Live a life of faith. I think of this lady in our church a year ago, and I told you some of this. Some of you all have told the story already, but single lady, 33 years old. And, you know, she came down with this viral disease. And we're like, what in the world? Within 24 hours, she was immobile. Within 24 hours, went into a coma. Very gifted, very outgoing, sweet ministerial spirit. I mean, just serving everybody, helping everybody. Lord, why? And she came down within 2 weeks. We were preparing for her funeral. But you know, there's a lot of questions. Lord, why did you take one of the best ones? Why did you take the busiest ones? But you know, God gives us grace to go through those very dark times. He shows us that he's with us, and he teaches us to trust him. You know, before she died, she gave a testimony in a ladies' meeting, and she gave a testimony of James 4:14, never knowing. She's in perfect health. She gave a testimony saying, well, the Lord put this verse in my heart, so I want to show you this verse. What is your life? It is even a vapor, but it appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And she didn't know in 3 weeks that her own life would be a testimony of James 4:14. You know, God prepares those things. 6 months before she died, we had a baptismal service, and she had three ladies up there with her that she had led to the Lord. And we're not talking about just pray a prayer. They go through the salvation lessons, and she had led them to the Lord, and she's so excited for them. You know, those people that she led to the Lord, they are still faithful to God's church today. God is the one that did it. Therefore, to God be the glory. God is the one that builds his church, but we need to have greater faith. And you know, like we heard recently, we're talking about faith. Really, God doesn't brag on our faith. Oh, you have such great faith. Oh, wow. But really, the faith is in Jesus Christ, the object of our faith. Never forget, we can see great and mighty things because of the object of our faith. Therefore, he was a man full of faith. And fourthly, we see that he was also far-sighted. Look at verse 8. He says, therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me of that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We don't have time to discuss the crowns. We have time to talk about the rewards. But let us say Paul was far-sighted. He's thinking about heaven. How many times in the scriptures does he talk about, hey, it's almost here. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Do you ever just take time and relish the fact of heaven? Amen. Eternal life. Amen. With your Lord and Savior. Praising him uninhibited. Amen. Praising God forever and ever. Amen. And we'll never get bored of it. Amen. Praise the Lord, what a wonderful life. It's only going to get better. Amen. The worst that we'll ever have it is right now. The Christian has no reason to be down and out and depressed. Amen. We have such a great life, and we have so much to look forward to. He was far-sighted, but yet he reminds us, verse number 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. When he appears, there's going to be a great division. There's going to be those going off into judgment, and we have our own judgment. We have the Bema Seat judgment, where he's going to judge us for our works. Are we going to stand there empty-handed? How about it tonight? We think about, are we finishing? Are we going to finish well? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I'm thankful to be a part of an active church and all that God has done through Fairhaven. And it's so exciting to think of what God is doing in those remote places across our world. Amen. The extension of Fairhaven and your influence has inspired so many people to serve the Lord and to do God's work until the end. Someday, brother, we will receive our crowns. But we will not receive those crowns to pride ourselves. We will take those crowns and we will cast them down at Jesus' feet, as we bow down and worship him. It is all for Jesus Christ. It is not for us to get ourselves all, you know, look at what I've done. But it's all for Jesus Christ. Thankful that we have an opportunity to serve our Lord. We are privileged. God could have done the work himself, but he uses human vessels. And he wants us to finish well. I'm not concerned about my salvation. That's already been taken care of once and for all. But how about finishing until the end? Going to the finish line and finishing strong. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Be sad if Jesus Christ comes back tonight and we're playing around with our besetting sins. Be sad that we're accommodating those things that are displeasing to him and grieving his heart. How about it tonight? Are we going to finish strong? God has worked in my heart. I don't know if this message for anyone else, but God has worked on me. And I think it's maybe unconventional, but I believe God wanted us to ponder these facts, that we ought to be a finisher. We ought to be full of faith. We ought to be farsighted, and we ought to be a fighter. Fight the good fight, because God is worth fighting for. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the power of it. And I pray that you would bless through the rest of this conference. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit, God, to do an everlasting work. Lord, would you renew our minds, renew our devotion to God. Help us to surrender ourselves entirely, completely to the work of God in our lives. Help us to see that there are so many things that we can busy ourselves and be distracted in this life. But Lord, the greatest things to live for are the things of God. Help us to fight the good fight. We pray you bless all these things in Christ's name. Amen.